Dirt roads to rock crawling, Tuba Chuck to screaming eagle, moonshine to 50-year-old single malt. We talk about it all here on Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey with your hosts, Jason and Chris.
Welcome to Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey, episode 86. And we are here in remote studio, JH. We'll call it JH, Chris.
JH, what does that sound for?
Well, it could be Jesse Haynes, but it's somebody.
Could be.
Somebody that I would consider in that same realm.
Yeah.
Fabricator, driver, innovator.
Driver, yeah.
Rock crawling to Ultra 4 racing.
Does it all.
We have Justin Hall here. Welcome to your garage, Justin. We're in your garage.
Yeah, thank you. I don't necessarily classify it as a garage. It's kind of a shack. I call it my shack.
Hey, it works.
Don't look above you, because I'm pretty sure like a good gust of wind, the roof's going to fall on us.
It's like reminds me.
Hey, but you got a nice garage floor.
I do. Yeah. It's got really a really nice concrete floor nice that concrete I put floor. In here, and like it's.
Floor is key. It looks like it keeps style. The rain off your head, so I think we're fine.
The 2 19x30 tarps from Harbor Freight that are over the roof is what keeps the rain out of here. Because if not, it leaks. I tried.
I see the spray foam.
I tried the spray foam. Yeah. It didn't work very well at all.
So it's all good, man. This is part of the race lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
It's all because race car. Parts are not cheap.
Nope.
You know.
Yeah, you can only trust a race car, because race car spelled backwards is still a race car.
That's right. There you go. And so you got, you know, you spend your money on tools and race car parts and stuff, and that's where it needs to be spent.
Yeah,
so,
there's a lot of money tied up into here between all the tools, like you said, the welders, the tubing benders, notcher.
The beer.
All the 30-pack of Coors Light.
Yes.
That's probably the cheapest thing in here.
The C-minus is good.
Yeah, the C-minus.
Nice and cold. I like the beer empty beer can holder that you have here on your welding cart, too.
Yeah, you can thank Kevin Stearns for building this table that I bought off him because he closed shop. And, yeah, it's got a nice little, like...
It's nice.
I was going to ask, what's with the cut section?
It got narrowed. It got narrowed.
So, no, this is actually kind of a trick. Kevin was telling me about this. So, they were using this table to weld out some fixtures, and when it was completely flat, when they'd get done welding, the fixtures have a slight bend.
Oh,
up
sure,
in them.
Because of
so
the
he would pre-bend, heat. He cut the legs out of it and put a ratchet strap across it to pre-bend the table. So when they bolted the fixture down, it had a slight bend in already. So when they welded it. When they welded it and unbolted, it was perfectly flat.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's pretty cool.
There's a method to their madness.
It's like a poor man's way of doing it.
And the ratchet strap's still there.
Oh, it's like a really nice ratchet strap,
it
too.
It is.
So I'm not going to complain about it.
That's a car tie-down ratchet strap.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And then this is quarter-inch plate steel on top.
I think it's actually thicker than that.
Oh, it is, huh?
3/8.
I think it's 3/8. Yeah.
Shit.
This is legit. You could pound the shit out of this thing with a hammer.
I've never had a table like this. All my tables are literally like probably less than 3 feet tall and like a 2x2 setup on wheels, and that's it. And it's been horrible to work on. When I bought this from him, like, it's been like life changing for me.
No, every shop should have a heavy duty steel tank.
Next time you come over to my house, I'll take you over to my dad's shop. He's got a 3/4-inch thick steel welding table.
It's
all you got all the holes for setup and everything. It's crazy.
See, I want to build myself a chassis table.
Yeah,
but I've been debating on. I've been looking at quite a few different ones. Like Jesse Haynes, he has one that's about as tall as this table.
Right,
but I don't know if I want to build a car like. This tall, but I like the way Jesse does it. It works out really well for him because everything's at like hand and eye level when he's working
sure,
on it.
Right.
I know Randy Slauson has built one off of big I-beams, and I like that idea too. Okay. But there's different ways people do it, and I just haven't found a way that I want to do it.
Sure.
Yet.
Oh, yeah, it'll come to you one night in your sleep, and you'll wake up and you have to doodle it on paper.
Oh,
I
sit in a notebook is
right
right next
reach.
To the bed because like I'll have a dream and like. My race car, that's kind of how my race car came about. Like, I was just trying to figure out how I wanted to build it. And every night, I'd just come up with a new idea in the middle of sleep. I'd wake up, write it down, and then go back to sleep.
That's where the best ideas come from.
That's right.
Yeah.
My ideas are always about selling more Z's, but, you know.
Hey, does that happen when you get old? Because I don't want
apparently,
that to happen.
Pretty much.
Apparently.
You saying I'm old?
Well, no,
Chris gets up early.
No.
What time do you get up, Chris? 4?
4.
Yeah, that's pretty damn early. I don't need, my alarm clock doesn't go off at 4.
Mine's
yeah.
about 5:45, 6 o'clock when I get up.
That's more normal.
Yeah.
I would like that.
I'm
not,
6.
Not my reality.
That's when you wake up at 6?
Yeah, I probably
set an alarm clock this year maybe a dozen times.
So, oh, your internal alarm clock.
Internal
just
alarm
in.
Clock. Well, that and you know, with my job, it's not like I got to be up at 0:00 anymore. Yeah. I used to be up at 4:00.
Yeah,
but not anymore.
Yeah, my job's been with this whole COVID stuff going on. I've been doing a lot of remote work and working from home. Like, sometimes I'll go. I try to go into my job sites and check them out, like a couple hours in the morning, and then I'm back home before noon and working from
home. That's kind of nice, though.
Yeah, it's not a bad
thing.
Enjoying
that commute.
Oh, it's I'll get up early, like take care of stuff I need to in the morning on the computer, and then leave my house about 8:00, miss a commute into work, and then be home by like noon.
Right,
that's great.
That'd be great.
Then all I got to do is just make sure I have my cell phone, my work cell phone with me, answering emails when they come through, and phone calls when they come through, and it's pretty nice.
That's great.
It's a whole new era, man.
It really is. I'm not complaining with it. Like, it gives me time to get prep
get
work
some
done,
stuff done.
Get some stuff around the house and
sure.
Yeah,
it's been an interesting change, and I mean we definitely want to talk about all this hardware we're sitting around, but I mean to think about the reset for families and whatnot. I know you're not a family man, but I am. And
I got a dog.
You got a dog.
I got a family. Are you kidding me?
Lucy?
But, is it Lucy? Yeah, Lucy.
Lucy's right there.
Yeah, she's guarding everything, just hanging out.
She's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So, but really?
Yeah. Don't say that word. Don't say that word. Yeah.
Ball.
She's looking at you.
I know.
She's like, don't you threaten me with a good time.
I'm wagging my stub.
Yeah, her little nub, huh?
Oh, boy. But, you know, you have a lot of families that are kind of reconnecting, spending a lot of time. You know, the kids are home. The parents are home working. But, I mean, might be.
I've noticed you haven't spent much time with your family.
No. I go to work every day. It's hard to do remote work on a golf course.
You need a little remote control car that you can, like, sit from your house and
control. Camera on
it. Exactly. You're fine.
You've got those robot mowers, too.
Don't mind the drone hovering over you.
Yeah. It is not a target for you to hit.
So the last time we met, we talked with the I believe July of this year.
Yeah, I think it was around then. Yeah.
Yeah, we sat down and
right in the middle of COVID.
Right in the heart of COVID.
Right in the heart of the nightmare.
Which we thought it'd be over by now, but apparently it's still
a thing.
It should be. So, what have you been up to since July? What's been going on in your world?
Not a whole lot of racing. We kind of decided to take the year off of racing and we just wanted to kind of refine what I was doing here, and I wanted to concentrate on getting some side work on through 13 Fabrication and make some little side cash doing that. And I wanted to build my name a little bit in that industry and just really, really take some time to go over my car with a fine tooth comb. I haven't really had a chance to do that often. And, that was a fresh cold Coors Light being opened up right there.
It is Saturday.
Yeah, it is Saturday. And we're a bunch of boys, and Saturday's for the boys.
Saturday's for the boys.
Right. Didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought.
No, you're
right
good.
In the middle of it.
We're good.
Good job.
That had to happen.
I know. This is Wheeling Wine and Whiskey and sometimes
Coors Light. But yeah, so I took some time and kind of refined what I was doing and concentrating on getting my car dialed in. I'm trying to go for... I know I have a car that works really well, and it's really competitive. And for my own personal thing, I feel it's been lacking some style on it. So I've been kind of going through, adding a few things, making it. Sorry, there's a lot in the background.
No, it's okay.
It's ambiance.
We got Chris's breathing, too. Yeah. So, you know, we just work through it.
But so, I've been spending some time and just getting my car to look a little bit better and adding little things here and there, like added some headlights on the front of the car, some amber lights that they not only help with cutting through the dust and everything, but they kind of give it a look that I feel like the car has been missing something on the front end. Next year, I'm going to drop a kind of big one here. Is going to be teal and blue, which is Falcon colors. Falcon came on board as a title sponsor for next year.
Awesome.
Which is pretty rad. So
That's huge, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, me and Falcon have had a relationship in the past in my rock crawling background.
Right.
They sponsored me for 2 years and title sponsored me for 1 year. I ended up winning a national title on their 38.5
nice.
Wild Peak MT2 for it was a sticky tire.
Okay.
And like I said, I won a national title on that. And then I had great luck with their 37s and King of the Hammers when I was racing on them before. So Looking forward to bringing back that partnership. And I have been have a really nice Falcon Fire suit that's been sitting in the closet that I absolutely...
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I had it. It was custom made for me a while back, and it still fits. I tried it on last night.
When you for rock crawling?
Yeah, for rock crawling.
No kidding.
I'm going to bring it back. And yeah, I was looking at old photos on Facebook and like my photos of me thing. Looking back, I'm like, man, I sure miss that fire suit. It's like, it's a really... It was like a $2,000 like custom embroidered Sparco fire suit that was made for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's
so
a beautiful
you get to bring
suit.
That back
yeah.
out. Bring yeah, it out
I'm,
of retirement.
I'm so excited for it. You have no idea.
That's super cool, man. Right on. Well, you know, we're partial to teal because our logo's got teal in it. So
it is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We might have to have a sticker show up on your car.
Oh, I'm sure, we can make something up. We can put it right next to the unicorn.
There you go.
That's
yeah, you
the
got
back
the unicorn
that says
magical. Magical.
If you look at it, it's kind of pooping a bolt.
Yeah. I did look at it earlier in 2009 KOH.
Yeah. Is that 2009? I don't know. That one just kind of showed up on my car. I forgot who put it there. One of my picker guys put it there, and I just left it because it's like the greatest placement of it ever. And
I love
just
it.
Decided to leave it.
Yeah, that's perfect. That is right perfect. Behind your driver's left shoulder there.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, right behind the driver's left shoulder. So it shows up
no
on
passenger.
All...
So your single seat car.
Yep, single seat car. Yep.
But that's freaking classic.
Yeah, when I'm on like the stand at Hammers,
yeah,
and got,
exactly.
Like, a camera showing while they're interviewing me, you see a
that's
unicorn
perfect,
poop in a bowl.
The unicorn.
And there it is, signature, Justin.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if that's a good thing to be a
unicorn
have
poop in a bowl.
Wow, it's not the greatest thing to be remembered by.
No, probably not.
The better sticker on there that has the inside joke that says I'm a pretty big deal. That's a better one to
I
be
like
remembered.
That.
Bye.
I see that's on both your cars. Yeah. So 2020, just to wrap up the shitty year, but it hasn't been all terrible. There has been some rework and stuff going on, but you did compete in two We Rock events.
One We Rock event and one Super Crawl event.
Right,
yeah.
So Super Crawl with a car that you built in the day.
Yeah, it wasn't even that back in the day. I built it like 2 years ago, I think.
Well, that's back in the day for us.
Yeah. Yeah. So
back in the day is yesterday. What are you talking about?
Yeah. So I built a little single seat buggy for a really close friend of mine. It was the first car I actually got to build for somebody else. And it was cool. Like it's a little different than most cars because it utilizes a Honda VTEC motor, like an H22A with a transaxle in it, so there's no transfer case.
Okay. Right.
And it's got disconnects front and back, so you can still do front and rear digs. It's got rear steering. It's not on portals. It's got Rock Crusher Dana 60s in it, but it's got similar ground clearance on the belly as far as for the portals, but I don't have the ground clearance underneath the axles.
Okay.
I did some things different on the link geometry to try to keep the geometry happy, but have a higher belly clearance with it, and we've still been like fine tuning it. We haven't really got to take it out as much as we'd like to. And one of the biggest things, like I went and ran the We Rock Nationals and we were sitting in fourth place, I believe it was. And I took
Cedar City.
Yeah. Yeah. In Cedar City, Utah. I ended up taking a pretty bad roll on one course and, the car shouldn't have rolled where it did. And I partially blame it on the shocks that are on the car right now. For how light the car is, I don't think the ORIs work what they should for this light of a car. On little heavier, like 2-seat cars, they work great.
Okay.
Like they're awesome for that. And I've talked to quite a few people, like talked to Jesse Haynes about it. And we kind of discuss ORIs on light single seat cars, and they're good and bad at the same time. They don't want to unload when you're doing side hills, but when you need them to unload and transfer weight, they won't do it. And that's because there's not enough weight in the axles and the chassis to counteract itself.
Okay. So that was what was your demise, part of your demise there.
Yeah, I sat and I have a video of the rollover, and I was telling you earlier that I literally slow-mo'd it down like as far as I could do it, and was watching what the shocks were doing, watching the bulge on the tire, and you could physically watch the car when it dropped. And the chassis should have unloaded a little bit away from the axle and kept everything planted.
Mm-hmm.
When it dropped, the whole rear end came off the face and it lost traction, allowed the car to slide over one way, and then it went for a nasty little tussle.
So the shock pulled the axle away.
Yeah, it didn't pull in. It just the shock didn't allow it to
expand.
Yeah, it didn't allow it to just unload like an air shock naturally would.
Okay.
So we're gonna go through that thing here shortly after I get done with prep for Hammers, and I'm going to do air shocks in all four corners and kind of just check it out and see what's do some testing here local. Like at Hollister, there's quite a few little obstacles out there that it's not really that much of a challenge for this car, but I can.
McCrazy Road?
I mean, yeah, McCrazy is like the only place, really.
Well, that's I could take it through McCrazy, but
the old obstacle course.
What I started doing in McCrazy, I started hitting all those obstacles going sideways and like traversing different options with this rearster bug to kind of actually test and work it harder than like normally just driving through.
Okay, let us know when you go down there because I want to watch that. That's freaking cool. I love this rock crawling shit too.
Well, you know, earlier Jason sat in that car and he had this shit eating grin on his face.
He's starting
to twitch. He had a twitch.
I honestly thought it was a bigger grin than what he had when he sat in my race car.
You know, it's interesting. I definitely there will be a four steer car buggy in my future. But
like I said, this car is it is future. Technically for sale right now.
We
can make a deal happen.
I'm sure we could.
We can make a deal happen and it'll still. You're, all this the changes that I want to do to it. So.
You're mistaking me for Chris Money, so we'll have to see.
Oh, yeah. But, we're back on Chris Money.
Yeah, Chris Money. Really? But anyway, so that's cool. Unfortunately, issue with that suspension there, but it was good to see you back out there because, I mean, it's your name's out there, right? And so people, one of the comments that was made, that was one of your first races in a long time, or competitions, I should say.
Yeah.
Rock crawling competitions. And you had, some of the big boys, Cody Wagner and Jesse Haynes out watching you to see what you're doing because they're like, okay, wait a minute. We got to keep an eye on Justin because he's a threat. He's
a legit threat.
Yeah. He's kind of a big deal, according to his sticker. So, but yeah, no, legitimately, you have proven yourself in the rock crawling world there, and that's pretty cool. So, I know you're a humble guy and stuff, but I mean, it's just those are great stories when you got some of these top guys watching you and going, "Okay, this is a car that he built. He knows this car inside and out," and then doing the stuff that you've done. So,
what was cool about going to Cedar City was. We didn't really run with any of that crowd all year long, so we kind of were like a wild card.
Right.
So we didn't really – we had nothing to lose going there. So we literally let it hang in every bonus line that we could get the car into. I put it in every bonus line, and that's what – I think sometimes like people were a little like – they were watching a little more closely because they're like, wait, we haven't got to see this guy wheel in a long time. Let's like watch what he's going to do and see how he does it. And we were, like I said, we were on par to finish pretty well, and if it wasn't for the first rollover we had, and then I had another rollover the second day that was clearly like 100% my fault, but we were trying something out of the box that everyone else tried a certain way and still hit a cone, and we were just trying to do something different, and we ended up rolling because of it. But when we rolled, we were able to, me and my spotter, Mike Barrard, we were able to flip the car back over. I got out of the car, and we, like, manhandled the car up and over back on its wheels and still finished the course, but not as well as we should have. And if you rolled twice, if you roll once, there's really no coming back with how tight the scores are nowadays.
That's cool. And it was interesting to me because I would have loved to have been out at Cedar City, but Trail Hero, you know, Jesse Haynes set up the courses out there. And
that's one place I've been trying to get to run the Trailbreaker, but for some reason, like not knocking Lil Rich, not saying nothing bad about him because I'm stoked his event's doing super well. But for some reason, I've tried to get in that event and I asked him a few times, and every time I've gotten that, like I don't know how to trail wheel as well as all these other guys, and it's just.
Really?
That's the only reason I want to go out there. I want to prove myself for the Trailbreaker. I just haven't ever gotten the chance to do it because I don't necessarily trail wheel as much as everybody else does. But when you competition wheel in Race Ultra 4, like you learn a lot about wheeling, and all of it relates to the same thing. And if you can compete in a car and be competitive, you can trail wheel. It's all the same thing. It's just you're looking at lines. It's all relevant.
Knowing lines and knowing what your car can do and can I make this work?
And if you don't, you have to dismantle the car.
Yeah. And with this car, like I said, it's a little bit different and it's a transaxle car. And I would love to put it out there and run the Trailbreaker courses with these guys that or everything else, like have all the portals, have all this extra gearing. I would want to be the first transaxle car to run Trailbreaker.
So is that invitation only then?
Trailbreaker event, yes, it's an invitation
only. Yeah, so it's past winners, and then, yeah, so then they had like a what, five or six wild cards or something? Yeah, people got voted in.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, then it becomes a popularity contest on social media.
Have they not seen this guy drive off a cliff?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it was cool. I mean, I watched it, and it was freaking incredible. But even just the rock crawling competition that they had there was cool. Have you been out to Sand Hollow before?
I've been out twice.
Okay.
Once. Once I went out there, and I had my old two-seat rear steer Torchmate car out there, and I didn't run the Trailbreaker because I didn't.
Yeah,
that was a year that I was talking to Rich. He said that they had an opening, and I told him, like, hey, I want in on this. And he said he talked to a couple people, and they said that I didn't trail wheel. And I didn't know how to trail wheel, so I didn't get in on the Trailbreaker.
Really?
So I ended up getting in on I ran the Supercrawler, or back then it was a WeRock event. And I ended up finishing fourth place in the WeRock event out there.
See? There you go.
Out of like 20 cars or something that were there.
It's
not my place. Like I'm stoked. I hope his event is always great. I have no bad words to say about Little Rich. We've been friends for years. You know, I'd love to get the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, get just to prove yourself there.
Yeah.
And get on that social media thing that you've been working on, and that's part of the game, unfortunately, fortunately, whatever. Yeah. You know, there's two ways to look at it, but
it is
a popularity contest
in that voting aspect of it.
It really is. Yeah. And
it was hard to compete this year when Cody Wagner jumped in for Jacob Reeves and said that he was going to give away a one of Cody's RC cars or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
One of the people who proved that they voted for Jacob. Like, I can't beat that.
No, I know. Jake, the blind squirrel racing. That's a cool team.
That kid can drive.
He can freaking drive.
It's cool to see like the younger generation come through, because I started when I was his age, and I didn't get a start in a car like he has. I had a Samurai Trail Buggy that I started in, and like I learned how to drive in that thing, and this kid's learned how to drive in one of the best cars out there, and it's impressive. Like I watch his runs at on the live stream, and when I remember watching him roll over, and then he ended up right side himself. I'm like, kid's got some skills.
Kid's good. That was impressive to watch live. I'd never seen him live. I'd watched videos, so I knew who he was.
Yeah.
But I didn't know.
He's a super good kid too. I met him out at. I've met him a few times when I've come out competed, and like just super nice, polite kid.
Yeah.
Like it's really cool. Like seeing him come through, and there's a girl, Mackenzie Duncan. She runs, I think, the sportsman class.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I think she might be jumping up the pro mod soon. And it's just cool seeing like this next generation of kids come through, because it reminds me of myself 10 years ago when I started, you know, and it's really neat to see all that.
It's very cool. Yeah. So we talked about it on the last podcast, your rock crawling days, and we talked some of the Ultra 4 stuff, but we're sitting here in your garage, so the rock buggy's outside, and then you got the badass rowdy 383 stroker.
It's 383 stroker built by Josh West.
And it's a Suzuki, Chris, because it's got a Suzuki hood
and cowl.
You know, and cowl there. Yeah. So you know,
don't mind the fact it's been narrowed for it's not, or anything like that.
You know, Amber Turner is very jealous of this car. I know of,
she said she's jealous. I've been told that it doesn't count as a samurai.
I'm touching the shock hoop right now, Amber.
I heard it doesn't count as a samurai just because it's got a hood and cowl. What I've been told about like the samurai purists.
Right.
I'm a samurai driver at heart. My trail rig's a samurai.
That's
which
right.
Which is really nothing samurai about my trail rig either besides the body and frame.
That trail rig's cool too.
And is that a samurai engine in that?
No.
The Toyota.
It's a 22 RE. It's all Toyota transmission, dual cases.
It's got samurai one tons under it.
Yeah. It's got samurai Dana 60s under it on 18-inch air shocks.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It is. And that thing wheels great. We were out there wheeling with you back in September and got to see that thing go. So that was cool.
And then you got denied.
Yeah, you did get denied falling.
Well, yeah. So,
well, you were also in a short wheelbase.
If I was in the rock boat, yeah, I would have been fine. But yeah, in that,
the short
wheelbase on that freaking hill. Yeah. And don't tell me you weren't fucking nervous, dude, because you were sitting there going, dude.
My ass was stuck to the seat. And I'm just,
it was a steep dirt climb.
It was gnarly.
And it was a cool spot because I've been to Hollister enough times that I've found all the cool, fun trails like that most people don't think of driving on. And hey, it's not like actual hard wheeling, but it's fun.
I had been on that trail before numerous times. I mean, you know, but it was washed out from that rut. And it's deep as hell. And then that rut made it super off camber. And with my flexi suspension and no sway bars, your counterbalance, we'll call it counterbalance,
if
Chris.
If anything, he was helping you out because he was on the high side holding you down.
Exactly. But that wheel was still coming up pretty good. So I was like, and I know my rig enough. And I'm like, dude, we're like super close to rolling right now.
You weren't that far off.
And it was impressive that you hiked back down to see, because you knew that it was a gnarly corner. So, but I was like, there's no sense in rolling here because it's going to be a really bad day if I roll.
Yeah, then there's no reason to.
Then we were trying to get around to the other side, and there was so many freaking people out there and wadded up on the trail.
Oh, when we were trying coming up from the quarry, it was like, what are you people doing?
Yeah, because you were supposed to meet us up at the top of
the and then never did. Anyways, but getting to see your trail rig wheel, and that was new to you pretty much at that time,
yeah,
too. And
that
you
was
were
like
stretching
the,
his legs.
I think that was the first time out with it. Yeah, that was the first time once I got it all back together. And it's a cool old Samurai. The body's been stretched on it, and it's a 4-seat rig, so it's just comfortable. It's got a heater in it, and it just
top.
Yeah.
It's kind of a top.
Kind of a top. I don't know if I classify it as one. If anyone out there knows a really good vinyl person that does soft tops, let me know, because I need to have a new one made for it. Somewhere local to the Bay Area would be sweet.
It'll keep the rain off your head if it's falling straight down.
Right. Yeah, but when the gaps in the doors don't really help.
Because
I put stock Samurai doors back on it, and the body's been so crunched in. And the gaps don't really help with that.
Well, it's got a Toyota motor. It wants the rest of the body to be like a Toyota.
It's my clapped out trail rig. I think every person needs a clapped out trail rig.
Well, and it wheels great, and it's fun.
It gets the job done. It's not a show queen.
No.
But
you can go hang with anybody out there, right?
What's going to be cool about it? It's going to match my race car.
I'm going to get painted up.
My race car is getting painted in the Falcon livery. I'm going to do something cool. I'm going to paint the wheels white, so it's old school, like drift Falcon style on my race car. I'm going to do the exact same livery, the exact same paint scheme, everything on the trail rig. So when they're both parked in the pits, drive around, they're exactly the same.
You're going to be like those big teams, like Levi Shirley and them.
They have two rigs that look the same. Yeah.
Now you just need a razor, a side by side, to race in the side by side.
That'd be cool. Anyone out there want
sponsorship? Sponsorship opportunities here.
Yeah.
So that's a good segue. Let's talk a little bit about your plans for KOH. What's going to happen?
So this year's
got to happen.
Yeah,
he's going to finish.
Yeah, I've finished the last 2 years.
I was going to say he's got a good thing going here. 4,500 class.
Yeah, right? 4,500 class. I finished top five in my class the last 2 years. The last year was fourth place. The year before that was third place.
Cool.
This past year, the fourth place, I blame it on me getting stuck twice, three times. I had to get out and winch myself, and I lost third place by 15 minutes. I guarantee I was winching for like 20 or 30 minutes.
Your co-dog's supposed to do that.
The no co-dog seat. It's a single seat car, folks.
Yeah, that's the struggle of driving a single seat car. You have to get out and do everything yourself. Right. So it's, you got to get in shape and be on top of doing all this stuff.
Well, hey, Chris has trouble getting in and out of my buggy all day. You know, in fact, when we do adopted trails, he doesn't even like riding with me in the buggy because of getting in and out. So
I had my own rig this year.
Yeah, that's right.
So this coming King of the Hammers, it's cool. They moved my race from Wednesday now to Friday.
Right.
So you are glad about that. Yeah.
Oh, I'm ecstatic about it because I haven't had, for the past 2 years, I've never been able to pre-run. Because I get down there Saturday. Sunday was always another race. Monday was qualifying. Right. Tuesday was contingency, get the car ready. Wednesday was a race.
And hello.
I could never pre-run.
Yeah.
I got a pre-run like the first 15, 20 miles of the race course. And that's it. I never got to pre-run any rock sections, any of that stuff. Like, I've just never been able to do that.
Okay.
And this year is going to be nice because I'll show. I'm actually going to spend. I'm going to get down there probably Thursday before.
Okay.
I want to get to Thursday before. The trail rig's getting outfitted with the GPS system in it, too. And I'm going to dial that in so I can make notes on my GPS in that while I'm pre-running the race course for all the rock trails. The desert is what it is, but I want to pre-run. There's a couple of rock trails that I didn't get to do over Thanksgiving that I want to spend some time on and figure them out. Because the two trails I didn't get to do, Spooner's Hour Limits, are the only two trails that the only time I've ever seen those is in a race. Okay. I've never got to actually go out there and like put a trail rig on them and spend some time just like looking at them. I've never
they're big rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were on Outer Limits last year. I've witnessed Spooners back in the day when spectators could go out anywhere on the course. I that's where we went. We'd go out to Spooners and watch all the races.
Yeah, Spooners and Outer Limits, it's no joke.
No.
Like, it's no joke, and I can do Spooners. I've done Spooners just fine without any winching, like going up and down it in my race car. Outer Limits has been a struggle for me. The year I got third place, like so 2 years ago, I had to winch through the very top section of Outer Limits because I had no idea where I got through it, and I get to the top side where like the main obstacle is at, and I had no idea what I was looking at.
That big ass rock where you got to go between the wall and the rock right here.
So
and
so what's cliff. Funny? So Chris. So there the sheer cliff. Like I drove. There's like a big rock in the middle.
Yeah,
you can go to the right of it, or I went to the left of it because my dumbass was thinking, ooh, buggy line, I could do this. Because I didn't even see what was on the backside of the other of the rock. Like, I kind of poked around. I'm like, this doesn't look right because I've never seen the trail. And, like, I went over here and I got stuck. So I get out, winched myself through. And then I noticed there was that line between the really big rock and the big wall.
Yeah.
But then there's a line to the far left of it that is way easier. I went to the far left and you don't have to nearly, like, wedge yourself against a wall and this big undercut and like kind of hammer up over it. You can go around to the left and it's flat ground and you just got a small ledge. You just got to make sure you're out far enough so your right rear doesn't get wedged underneath that really big rock that everyone winches to. So that's where I went out of it and I was fine. But it's that getting into that spot is where I need to spend some time at because I just haven't been able to do it.
So if you remember, Chris, when we were out there running that and that one of the drivers came through that was pre-running. Right. And they had a hell of a time in that section. They were trying all kinds of different lines getting hung up everywhere.
I've been watching a bunch of videos on YouTube and old King of the Hammers videos just to try to figure out the line through it. And I think I got a really good idea on it. I just need to get out there and put some tires on it and see if I can get it.
It's always changing, too. That big-ass rock's not going anywhere.
Yeah, no, but getting to that big-ass rock.
Yeah, just getting to it. Yeah.
Correct.
And they need to have a camera out there because
they did in the year I got third place. So 2 years ago, they had someone out there. They had drone footage and they had someone out there with an actual camera, and I went back and watched some footage and I saw myself winching and I'm like, oh, this is pathetic. If you look, like, they like zoomed into my face through my helmet and you can like look at my eyes. I was just like drained because it's the end of the race, like the last like 20 miles of the race, and it was a mess. I was just like, oh my god, this is horrible.
But a lot. I was just going to say, a lot of the spectators have no idea what you racers are facing out there in the middle of those rock trails. Yeah. I mean, they see Chocolate Thunder and all the other stuff, you know, and Sledge.
They don't see, like, Jack North. They don't see Wrecking Ball.
No.
They don't see Aftershock. They don't see Highway 19 and 20.
Yeah.
Like, Sunbonnet, Devil's Slide. Devil's Slide isn't hard, but it's a really steep, like, off-camber kind of big little trail.
It's the name Devil's Slide. Yeah.
Right.
If you don't know where you're going through it, there's plenty of ways you can roll, and it's like you're rolling down to the bottom. It's a long way down. And then, like, if you guys ever get a chance to go wheel, like, Highway 19 and 20 and not take the bypasses on it, like, there's a lot of bypasses around it that I don't know if they're pretty burnt in now that you can kind of see. But the year I raced, that 2 years ago, there was no bypasses allowed, so you had to take all the hard lines. And Highway 19 and 20 is no joke.
Serious stuff.
Yeah, it's some big stuff with big ledges, big holes in it. Sunbonnet the same way. There is a bypass around some of the hard stuff in Sunbonnet, but we couldn't take it. And like there's quite a few trails out there that you don't most of the the general public, they don't see.
I mean, you see the helicopter follows the desert sections, of course, and then they have drone. Yeah. Of course, you see Backdoor, you see Chocolate Thunder, you see whatever yeah. that. What's the obstacle? It's just to the right of Chocolate Thunder.
Oh, that's the her problem. No, not her. Yeah, that is her problem. Yeah, Idle Issues. No, her problem's the backside, and then Idle Issues is that big rock downhill section.
That's another spectator.
Yeah, that's called Idle Issues. And but there's right on the backside of Idle Issues is a trail called Her Problem that. If you don't know how you're going through that, that's a hard little trail too. You know, there's all kinds of little trails in the back that you're not going
to
see.
Well, and I missed the window on those opportunities. My first year at KOH was, I think, 2016, and Jason wasn't on that trip. I went with four other people, and we went out. It's race day. We're going to go out and check out. I think we're going to head out to Spooners or it was Outer Limits. And we got out. We drove driving out in the desert, and we come to this group of volunteers out in the middle of nowhere, and they're like, "Where are you going? We're going out here." It's like, no spectators allowed. You got to turn around.
Sorry, Moose should have told you out front.
Yeah.
So they had already shut down, you know, regular people from going out to those areas that year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So
it's honestly better because I have come up in a race on somebody that's been on course and they had no business being on course. And they're blocking the only way through the trail.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, those are clueless idiots that need to get it out.
Then if you nerf them, then you're the bad person because you hit them. And it's kind of frowned upon to hit like somebody in a stock JK.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So you pre-ran and ran your car hard over Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I spent from Saturday to Black Friday. I spent almost a full week down there.
You missed all the Black Friday deals?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was driving home during all the Black Friday deals.
Big deal.
I was here for Cyber Monday though.
Oh, there you go.
I was on point with Cyber Monday.
I bought a 32-inch monitor for editing podcasts for $200.
Oh, that's actually pretty. That's a good deal.
Screaming deal.
I bought one of those LG. I bought one of those like Amazon Echo Dots. I've been like so against putting one of those Amazons in my house.
Now you're getting spied on.
Oh, I know. I was so against doing that, but after I got one, I'm like, this is actually kind of cool because I've been working from home and like playing music off my phone through my laptop just kind of sucks.
Right.
And I was like, I just need something better to play music off of. And the thing's cool because you tell it to play music, it plays music. You ask it the weather, and it says the weather. I'm like, this thing's pretty cool.
Or so you're sitting there talking to your friends about getting new bumpers, and then you start getting a bunch of emails about bumpers.
Well, I'm not going to complain about that. I'm not going to complain about that one bit.
Got to be careful. Dave Cole and JT Taylor listen to that too. So
right.
So that could affect the course this year.
Pre-running,
right?
Pre-running during Thanksgiving. What knowledge did you gain from that?
So I went down there with a guy by the name of Paul Smith. I finished his 4500 class car for him that someone else started building for him. And then I ended up cutting the front end of the car off and doing a bunch of work and wiring, plumbing, doing all that stuff. So it was kind of like the major maiden voyage for that car. So he spent a lot of Sunday getting it ready, Monday getting it ready. Tuesday I had a big like shock tuning appointment with Wayne. And so we did that. And then we did run a couple trails here and there. We ran Guacamole, Chocolate Thunder, a bunch of just like little local teasers for him to get a feel for the car.
Nice.
And we did shock tuning. And then after a shock appointment, he's like, I want to drop back door. I'm like, okay, but we're going to start all the way at top of resolution.
Okay, there you go.
So we went, ran Guacamole again, dropped through or went on the race course, back to down resolution. Then I dropped down back door. He was like, oh, that's not that hard. I'm like, no. Like,
you just drive off it.
I sent him down the proper way of going down back door. My race car just like was lined up. I just bailed off of it like wherever because at the end of the day, gravity's going to get you downhill.
Yeah.
As long as when the front tires hit, you just stab the gas wheel, okay, come out of it. It's fine.
Sure. Because you've driven off of cliffs before.
Yeah.
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 Rock crawling world is no big deal.
Back door's not that scary. It's really not that big of a
Up Justin Hall driving off a cliff on YouTube.
Yeah. You'll probably find something on that. But so we did that, and then Wednesday, Thursday, it was actually like the end of Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we spent a lot of time out running trails, and it was nice to be able to run with another car that could actually like keep up. We weren't going race pace, but we were clipping through the trail pretty good.
Cool.
Like, We spent some time through Sunbonnet, like, and some of these other little trails, like, actually picking the hard lines through it. And Sunbonnet's normally like a 5 minute long trail for my race car.
Wow.
You know, like, it's,
yeah,
it's a decent trail, but you jam through it in 5 minutes. Like, it's, if you're like at race pace, sure, you're clipping through it.
Sure.
Like, going up Chocolate Thunder shouldn't take you longer than really 2 minutes to get
right
through it.
Yeah. Take like, me 3 days.
But like, honestly, like, 2 minutes is push is like, that's on the higher end. That's like you had to back up two or three sure times to get through Chocolate Thunder. Like, Chocolate Thunder is one of those trails that you just don't think about.
Right.
Like, we ran through Jack North, Wrecking Ball, like, we went Jack North, dropped into Bender Alley, into Wrecking Ball. Then from Wrecking Ball, we hit the race course a little bit in the desert, just showing him all that stuff. And then we ran Highway 1920, Devil Slide, Aftershock, Sunbonnet, the backside of Sledge we hit. We ran Clawhammer, Upper Big Johnson, Lower Big Johnson. We did a bunch, and that was like, we spent a day doing that stuff, and we do all this stuff in less than 8 hours than sure King of the Hammers.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And we were just clipping through trails, knocking stuff out, and I haven't driven my car, like, it's been parked underneath the tarp.
Right.
Since King of the Hammers. Like,
and now it's disassembled.
Yeah, now it's disassembled, getting prepped and ready to go. It's actually not that bad.
Not too
bad
disassembled.
I'm just swapping out all the rod ends. It's my yearly prep on those. Like, sure, if they're good, they go in the spare box, but
right,
like, I just replace all the rod ends on the car. Ordered all new brake hats and rotors from Brandig Motorsports. My buddy Johnny at Johnny Customs Auto Body, he has a big motorsports side of that, and he's got me set up with some nice new Wildwood brake pads to cool match the Brandig Motorsports brake hats and rotors. I'm going to a little more aggressive brake pad on them to hopefully allow me to, like, hammers, it doesn't necessarily matter that much, but there are some times that you just need to brake a little bit later, and like, if you have a really, like, hard compound, you can't brake later. You got to brake early to get it
sticky.
You want like a soft compound, like, that's a little more aggressive, that uh-huh bites harder. And that's
so, like, when you're coming out of the desert section, you're doing a buck 30 and you want to slam down to 30.
117 is the fastest I've been in a race car. Yeah, 117. 130 is pushing quick. It. That's like, quick. 117, like, that's me out pre-running, like, out having fun. During race, I try not to get over, like, 110 out in, like, the big lake beds.
And what was Amber doing, 65?
27?
No, she was doing, like, 65. She was faster than Jesse Haynes in the Rocksore last year.
She said her average speed was, like,
12.
12 yeah, or something like
yeah
that.
Yeah, I don't remember what my yeah average speed. I think mine was like probably 35, 40 or something throughout the whole entire race course. I don't know if it was that fast, but...
Well, we want to get into the car.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a minute, but I just want to kind of go back to your week at down in Johnson Valley during Thanksgiving.
And yeah.
Were you there when the Johnson Valley Crawlers were doing their shit show? And
no,
all that
we
stuff?
Actually left. So when we got there Saturday, there were still a bunch of camping people that were just out having fun for the weekend. Sunday was completely dead quiet. Monday, Tuesday was dead quiet. Wednesday was dead quiet. Wednesday night is when people started showing up. And Thursday, it started becoming a shit show. And then, like, I'm so glad we left Friday because it was a giant shit show when we left. Like, we left Friday, like, mid-morning, and the amount of people that showed up there was ridiculous.
I saw some pictures. Yeah, I think Cody Wagner posted it, you know, from his laser tatter, and it looked like a mini King of the Hammers going on out there.
Yeah,
it was turning into quite the thing.
Where we were camped at, like, we were just camped right past the first bridge that...
Oh, okay.
There was nobody there when we were... Like, there was, like, one or two cars that were there.
You were way at the front.
Yeah, there. We just... There was no reason to go all the way into the lake bed. We just... Mm-hmm. We're like, yeah, let's just camp out. Like, normally when I go there for Thanksgiving,
so
we
that's
normally
like
camp
where
right
the normal
there
entrance is. Where
yeah,
they,
yeah, exactly.
Set up
yeah,
right there.
Yeah. And
right where you're going to get COVID tested.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
COVID.
Yeah. COVID. But
anyways,
yeah, we camped there. And then next thing we know, we're out trail wheeling. We came back Wednesday and we're like, where did all these people come from? And we go out Thursday and we come back and it's like just right as the sun's starting to set. And we're like, where the hell's our camp at? Oh, we drove by it twice trying
no
to figure
way
out where that because we
really
couldn't find
got
it.
Got surrounded.
Yeah, we got well. It wasn't necessarily surrounded, but everything looked completely different with RVs. We're like, yeah, this wasn't here. This doesn't look familiar. Wow. Wait, where the hell's our camp at?
Wow,
where's Boone Road?
Yeah. Oh, we were on Boone Road, but like Yeah. Couldn't figure out where the hell our camp was at.
Holy
we knew
moly.
Like we'd get past like when we were coming back from like the lake bed going down Boone Road, like towards the main highway. We knew there's like that one little wooden sign that has like welcome to wherever you're at and stuff. We knew we were past that, but once we when we got from there and then we hit the bridge, we're like we went way too far. Like we're somewhere in between here. We're just not sure where we're at.
So 5,000 people, 10,000 people?
I bet
people?
You it's probably like 5,000, 10,000 people out there. Yeah, there's a lot of people that showed up over Thanksgiving, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. But it just...
And nobody died.
Yeah. There was two...
We don't know.
I think it was Wednesday night, the meat wagon came by and pulled somebody off of out by Chocolate Thunder.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I don't know the logistics though, but like Highway Patrol came through.
Oh, boy.
And so they went out first. And then fire truck goes by, and then the meat wagon comes out. We're like, uh-oh. This isn't good. And then we watch him go all the way out, see the flashing lights all the way out to Chocolate Thunder.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
You know, there's the stupidity that goes on out there.
It was the fact that people are out there on dirt bikes, no lights, no nothing, ripping up and down the road. And like, you guys are asking for an issue. Like, if you're going to go do that cool, like, tape a damn flashlight on the handlebars, like something, like,
dude,
let us know. Like, because we're in cars, we're not going to see you.
Right.
Like, sure, we have lights on, but we're not going to see you until you probably hit our hood.
Yeah.
Or you're over it.
Yeah. And car versus motorcycle. Is always going to lose.
Not good.
And it's not just motorcycles. It's the quad scene out there, too. And,
Well, then the side-by-sides, right?
The side-by-side crowd likes to rip around, like, every which way.
And they've got 75 light bars and 3,000 watts of subwoofers.
Yeah, that's...
well, the... Yeah, and you know, I mean, it's
like
great.
Hollister, right?
Yeah. Oh, dude, Hollister's so bad of that now. There's so many, like, side-by-sides out there just blasting music all the time. And
right.
There's so much other areas to go whip donuts, but they think right next to the cars and where they park their tow wheel is the best way to to go whip donuts.
Yeah. That could be a whole other podcast.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
The last trip we were there, like, I just loaded my trail rig on a trailer, and then, like, these, like, group of, like, 20 XJs rolled by, and they all hit rev limiter, so I, like, walked back to my trail rig, fired up, and, like, I can do that, too, guys.
Yeah.
Like, not that cool.
But mine sounds way better. Yeah. It's got more cylinders. Yeah. Oh, wait.
So,
I was in the trail rig, not the race car.
Sorry.
Yeah. Race car never sees rev limiter. Yeah, it's very rare I hit limiter on that car.
So, as far as, you know, you said about 3 more weeks of prep.
I would say that's on a
conservative.
Yeah, that's being conservative.
Uh huh.
I honestly, the front and rear diffs that were gone through before Thanksgiving.
Cool.
I got to swap brake hats and rotors, brake pads, all the rod ends on the car. I'm going to pull the transfer case out because I noticed a small little hairline crack on the adapter, and I'm not sure if it's just like the paint crack in it or if it's an actual crack, but I'm going to pull it apart, look at it, because something stupid like that is all it takes to take it out of the race.
That's smart. Yeah.
It's easier to pull it out now than on the middle of the lake bed and change it.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to look at it, and if it's something bigger than what it is, I'll weld it up and have that as a spare and put my spare adapter on there. And but for the most part, the car is dialed.
You know? Right.
I'm gonna throw it on a chassis rack. There's a couple cars got a slight little bend in the passenger side that's had for about a year.
Okay.
And I'm gonna throw it on a chassis rack. My buddy's got a rack that we're gonna throw it on there, kind of bend it back into place.
Okay. So what else preparing for KOH? And are you, after you do these modifications, you're not going back down in the desert. Are you going to take it to Hollister and try it out or anything? Or are you going to whip around the neighborhood? What pre-run, I should say?
No, I'm not. After I get done knocking all the prep work on it, I'm going to spend, like I said, spend a lot of time cleaning everything up. I'm going to paint a lot of things. I'm going to paint the car. I'm going to make it look pretty. I'm going to, like I said, I'm trying to go for a little bit more style this year.
Okay.
And make it a little more photogenic because it with the... Like the black and gray digicam has been kind of lost in photos, I want it to be a little more predominant, and that's also like the Falcon colors is very bright colors, and
just don't lose the unicorn.
Oh no, the unicorn.
You gonna polish your aluminum leaks?
They may get a little bit of love on them.
Remember, chrome don't get you home, Justin. Yeah. Chrome don't get you home.
Well, it's not chrome; it's shiny.
<know.
laughs> Shiny adds
bling.
Shiny adds horsepower.
Bling, it does, and less wind resistance.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So,
but yeah, so I'm gonna touch up all the paint on the car. Like I said, make it look good, and I need to bed the new brake pads into the new rotors, and I can do that while it's sitting on jack stands here. Okay. So that's one good thing about that. It'll get kind of smelly, and it never smells good when you're burning like really metallic brake pads in. And well, it's a horrendous smell, but it's got to get done. I want to do it the right way. But for the most part, the car's, she's ready to attack next year.
Yeah.
I got some, my race schedule. I don't know if we talked about my race schedule next year.
No. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about 2021.
Yeah. So 2021, my race schedule is looking like, I'm going to race King of the Hammers, Ultra 4 Nationals, and Norco Rock Racing Series. I'm going to try to hit a couple little local short course races down in Glen Helen. Like, Lucas Oil just shut down their series, but I'm hoping somebody else picks it back up.
Okay.
So I can get out there and run a couple short course races, because I'm trying to prep for a bucket list race of mine, and that's racing Crandon. The racing short course at the Big House.
Crandon looks so freaking cool, and that's like a week long event as well.
It's during Labor Day weekend. Ultra 4 has a race out there, and who's gonna make the trek all like Crandon, Wisconsin? And like I said, I'm gonna knock that bucket list race off. And I know they do a night race that involves rocks, and the only team I've ever seen race during the day is a 4400 class. So if I gotta enter a 4400 class, I don't care. Like I'm gonna race the mecca short course race, and that's Crandon.
That's
awesome.
I built my car around racing short course, and it's been literally a pipe dream of mine to go out there and race, and I'm gonna make it happen this year.
Well, Crandon, just make sure your lights are working so you don't end up in the pond like Bailey Cole.
Oh yeah. Remember I added some headlights to
that's
the car.
Right. I know, I see that.
I have light bars tucked up underneath that you don't really notice when you're staring at the car. And I got lights.
Yeah, you perfect. Do.
I just gotta make sure I pay attention to where I'm going.
So I think Bailey did too, but he got caught in the dust.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I watched that video and holy hell.
Can you imagine?
The car was sunk. It was 100% submerged.
I know.
That's scary.
They pulled it out and got it running again.
Yeah. I mean, we can laugh about it because it all came out well, but that could have ended really badly.
Oh, it could have.
So,
you're all strapped in, 5-point harnesses.
Yeah, 5-point harness, window nets.
You got to get out of that car.
It's not easy to get out of these
holding
cars.
Your breath.
Yeah.
In the dark.
Yeah, you got to be like, oh, shit, I'm underwater.
Yeah, yeah.
This isn't right.
No bueno. Cuidado.
Yeah.
So anyway, glad it ended well.
But Crandon will be awesome. Yeah, I would love to get out there to watch Crandon these years.
It's one of those races that I've watched videos of them, like, turn one.
Yeah.
Running in turn one at like 80 mile an hour, pitching the car sideways. Like, that's like my wet dreams are made of racing like Crandon, Wisconsin. It's just
cool.
It's one of those places that it's been a dream of mine. I've watched enough Pro 2, Pro 4s racing out there. I always told myself like one day I'm going to do it, and it's going to happen in 2021.
Nice.
Right on.
Nice.
Well, good for you. Hopefully you're there, and that'll be awesome to watch.
Yeah. I can't wait to be there. I just got to make sure the tow rig's good enough to make it out there.
Well, it's a Ram. It'll definitely get you there.
Yeah, well,
he's concerned.
No, I'm not concerned about that. That's why I bought the truck.
Sorry, I got to get my... I'm surrounded by two Dodge guys here.
Yeah.
I got to hold my ground.
But I was a Ford guy that converted
I know. I was going
to
say, last time I was
last time riding
in your tow rig, it was a Ford.
Yeah.
So you sold that and got a Dodge.
Yeah, I sold that, got a 2013 Dodge, and just got done doing like a mid-travel kit on it, sitting on a BDS front 3.5-inch coilover. It's actually got Fox 2.5-inch, 8-inch travel coilovers on the front end now, which hopefully my shock tuner, Phil, will be able to show some love to it a little bit.
Just going
to
send it.
Yeah. And then it's got Carly rear springs in it now. And then I'm going up from 35s to 37s on it, and I got some Battleborn wheels for it, so they'll match similar to my race car.
There you go.
I stepped up my style game this year a little bit.
Oh, yeah. It's a good-looking truck for a Dodge, but, it is nice. It is nice.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I just picked up, actually, I want to give a big shout-out to Cody Ivy at Chassis Unlimited. He hooked me up on a front bumper for my truck. And it's
good.
For the Dodges, it's crazy how much clearance his bumpers get.
It is. That bumper is nice. I noticed it right when we walked in the game.
It is. It's an eye catcher. It's like super sleek. It tucks up. The body lines are like on point. I can't say like enough good things about that bumper.
Yeah, it's not like a big old Texas bumper that's like way overkill.
I was looking at that, and that's because I have like a worn 12,000-pound winch that's sitting here that came off my Ford, and I was looking at it, and I talked to him like, hey, how do I make this fit? He goes, you can't.
You're not
going to make that big winch fit on it unless you do one of the bigger bumpers. I'm like, I don't want that. I want a nice bumper tucked up, because that's going to be my weekend camping rig if I want to go run forest roads or something. On, I'm going to take the Ram out. I'm going to have a tent for it. Like, I'm going to have all that stuff. Like, do some overlanding with the Ram.
Okay, there you go.
Overlanding.
You
know? What?
That's what Rams are good for.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's good for everything else.
So, you know, you'd be buying a scottle.
But, I want to be able to kind of, it's kind of my do everything rig. And it just, like I said, I can't say enough good things about that truck now.
Oh, they're great trucks.
Yeah. That's great. The only thing it's missing are the 37s, which
soon enough. Are they going to be MTs?
They're going to be the MT. No, I'm going to do the AT3s from Falcon.
Oh, yeah, okay,
they're
right
be Falcon
on.
AT3s.
Okay, good call.
It's a very aggressive all-terrain on them. And they still have an extremely good sidewall rating. I think there's still like a 3,500-pound sidewall on them. Yeah. So it'll still be perfect for towing my big enclosed trailer with.
Right.
Sweet.
Yeah, E-rated.
There you go. You got Amazon. Yeah. Prime delivery coming in. Here comes Lucy's got it.
Yep.
Woo-hoo. Just chuck it over the fence. It's car parts.
Throw it over the fence. It's fine.
No, they won't do that. I'll be right back.
Okay. All right. Amazon delivery interrupted us there, but that was a good break. I needed to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So, you know what was in that Amazon package, Chris?
I'm afraid to ask.
Yeah, was it a box full of talent? Because I probably need
a box full of talent. Wow, I didn't know you can get talent from Amazon Prime.
Dude, you can buy everything on Amazon
Prime. You're right. I need to look it up.
I bet you there's talent.
That's a good one. No, it was Justin opened it up. It's actually a little booster seat for the passenger side of his rig for you to sit in there, Chris, during the race. Yeah.
You just got to deal with a couple twin sticks between your legs.
It's
fine.
Just a couple of sticks right between your legs, so he'll just have you working it a little bit in there. But
I was really hoping for that box full of talent.
Right? Yeah. Me too.
We're just gonna ratchet strap you in. Oh, I've been trying to get Chris a right seat ride for KOH, so we at least got to get him in a car to scare the shit out of him.
I would say at least get him in a car,
Arturo was
Kevin Jones is
going
to take him around, too.
Well,
yeah.
Arturo promised me a ride, but he's not going to
be. I secretly want to ride as well, but I really want to get in-car footage of Chris losing his shit in one of the cars.
I could probably do one better for you. I was thinking maybe like if you show up hammers this year after my race, the car is still in one piece, I'll let you take it out for
But I would be super conservative.
That's okay. Like, just don't.
But that would be fun.
Hey,
that would be. Don't
loop in the desert. Don't do anything stupid.
Don't
I would normally
time.
Say don't do what I would do in it, but that list is really small of the stuff I wouldn't do.
Right.
So I normally don't say that.
All right. What you're saying right now is being recorded.
I understand. It's recorded. I understand that.
The internet never forgets.
You're probably one of the few people that are about built like me that could actually drive the car.
I appreciate that. And I'm very comfortable in that car, sitting in that today. But
there's only been two other people I let drive that car.
Really, see?
One of them was one of my best mates from Australia. When he came over, I promised him like he'd drive the car.
Sure.
And then another one was one of my good buddy's kids. His name's Nate Smith. He is so on point with the feel of from this like seat of his pants, and he comes from a really big like circle track background, and he knows and road racing background. He's been doing this stuff since he was like 3-4 years old. He's 27 now, 28, and he's done a bunch of classes. He can transfer everything that he's feeling into words.
Yeah.
And like my car has done a few things that I just couldn't understand how to put into words. I'm like, hey dude, like go drive my car. This happened at Thanksgiving. I said, hey, go drive my car, like take it out for 10 minutes. I said, rail on it, like do what I would do to it and come back and tell me what you think. And he came back and we were kind of talking about things, and I'm going to try some things next year that with his advice, and I actually really appreciated his advice because it helped me understand like, hey, yeah, the car's doing this when it probably should be doing this. And one of the biggest things is like through some of the whoop sections, like you'll be railing through the whoops and like hauling like 65, 70 through whoops, and all of a sudden the car, like it just steps out on you.
Okay.
And I think my issue is I think I have too strong of a weight on the sway bar. It's not allowing the tires to, like, kind of gradually just independently drop out, they're kind of dropping out together. And when one would drop out, it would grab traction, kick the car one way. So you're kind of always fighting the steering on the car through the whoops for a long section. And
interesting.
And he's like, yeah, he goes, I think this is coming from the sway bar. And he said, he goes, I can feel it like loading up and it's a little loose doing this, this, and this. And he was able to put everything into words for me and where I could understand it. And that's the only reason I let him drive my car. I'm like, hey, dude, like, you're smart in this sense. Like, I can drive a car. I can deal with the issues it's had, but I want to make it better. Like, please tell me what you think.
That's cool. Just a whole different perspective,
it was.
Right?
And it's coming, like I said, it's coming from somebody who's had a huge background in circle track racing, dirt track racing, road racing, that grew up, like, in, like, his dad put him through a bunch of classes to be able to understand, like, rebound, compression, like, what a car is doing from the seat of your pants. Like, I understand what it's doing, too. I just don't know, like, the logistic and, like, the actual terminology for it. I just know from driving experience.
There are classes for that?
Yes, there is. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
That's like, it's like a box of talent, right?
Yes, that's what I mean. I was hoping for a box of talent box to show up from Amazon Prime. It just never showed up.
You know, to just interject real quick, I was listening to the radio the other day, and they had a professor.
Squirrel.
They were doing an interview. They were talking to a professor of rhetoric.
What is that?
Wow.
I said the same thing. It's like, there's really a professor of rhetoric? I mean, seriously?
Well, apparently, yeah. Well, you can, yeah. There's anything and everything goes nowadays.
So you're gonna work on that, figuring out what's making that happen.
Yeah, I'm gonna spend some time next year and make a couple tweaks of things and a couple of races. And I'm going to try stuff and just try to work some things out. And I want to try some new things with my car too. And a big thing for me is I want to try to add a steering quickener onto it. I tried to put one on. I have a steering quickener. It's a 2-to-1 quickener, and I tried to put it on before going to Hammers over Thanksgiving, but I couldn't quite get it to work right with the fact that I need to pull the box apart and adjust a torsion valve inside the box, so
okay.
It'll flow more fluid and not be so tight. Because the issue I was having was, it was a 2-to-1, like, it definitely was 2-to-1, like, I only had, like, 1.5 turns lock
Holy
to lock.
Smokes.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty damn fast.
That's twitchy. Wouldn't that be twitchy?
It's not twitchy. It's the fact that without making this adjustment to the box, I talked to PSC for, like, 20 minutes on the phone trying to understand this, and I need the box to flow more to be able to run this bigger box. So I'm going to end up buying another box that's set up just for running this quickener, so I'll be able to swap it in and out with running short course races or running Hammers. Hammers, you don't really necessarily want as touchy.
Right,
I wanted to see what it'd be like in the desert, but I'm just not going to change the car at all in that sense.
Because if you sneeze out in the desert, you're going to flip your car.
That's almost the exact sentence I was going to say.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But also, the nice thing is if you get out of shape in the woods, being able to correct it quickly fixes a lot of things too.
True.
So it's just like, I've talked to Levi Shirley a lot about this, and it's funny. He expressed it so well. He goes, the faster you go, the looser grip on your steering wheel gets.
Interesting.
Because the faster you go, the tighter your grip is, the more likely you're going to make these little twitches that mess things up. So you just kind of, weirdly enough, you got to be a little more relaxed when you're going faster, because you just got to be able to, like, it's hard to explain, but like the tips of your fingers are like you're driving through
exactly
the desert,
it's minute adjustments.
Yes, yeah.
I can adjust
finesse.
I can relay a little story to that. Is flying the Beechcraft, friends of ours, Chris and I. So they flip
One.
Over the yoke, and they go one hand and be loose in your hand.
Yes.
Don't put a death grip on it, and I thought that was so cool because it totally put it in perspective. It's like minor movements make this aircraft move a lot.
Yes.
So you don't want to sit there and freaking be correcting the whole time.
It's the same thing out in the desert.
Seesaw.
You don't want to be sawing at the wheel. And next thing you know, you're upside down.
It's
even short course racing. Like, the faster you go in short course racing, the kind of looser you feel. You're just kind of like letting the car work.
Yeah. So not quite letting Jesus take the wheel, but just a step below that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you're kind of like letting Jesus take the wheel.
Let Jesus.
Not Jesus. You're letting
Jesus take the wheel.
You're letting his little brother take the wheel.
Underlay.
I don't know.
That's awesome.
I never hold the steering wheel, but whatever. Yeah.
That was like driving fast in short course. There's definitely tricks. Like, you don't ever cross your hands when you're... And this is all stuff that transfers over in, like, everyday driving.
Sure.
Even in, like, road course racing, even just, like,
just
driving.
Trying to survive in the Bay Area.
Yes, exactly. There's like, you got to be an aggressive driver out here, and you got to kind of know what they're going to do before they do it.
Yes.
And it's funny how things kind of relate. Like, you and I were talking earlier before we started, like, how, like, I 2-foot drive my race car.
Yeah.
I 2-foot drive my pickup truck. I 2-foot drive, like, everybody else's car. And unless it's got a clutch, then I'm, like, obviously using a clutch for that. But, like, for the most part, I'm 2-foot driving everywhere. Right.
Well,
it's
as soon
just a natural, like, once you figure it out, it's so much easier.
I do that. I've done that in the Jeep and the Rock Buggy for years. Yeah. And as soon as I sat in your car and I'm like, do you 2-foot this thing? Because that's the way it's set up. And it just was intuitive.
Yeah. If you don't 2-foot drive race cars, like, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's... You got to get comfortable with that left foot. If you're right foot dependent, you got to get comfortable with using your left foot for brake control. And
I would think it'd be more instantaneous control of the car.
Exactly. Yeah, you're not
that transition time.
Exactly. That transition from like gas to brake is a matter of, for lack of better words, of like life or death.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
if you're hesitating on that, and when you're like. On the brake when you should be on the gas and you can't get to the gas fast enough, like you roll the car over and then you're done.
Right, right. Well, and you think about the race, King of the Hammers race, 8-9-10 hour race. How many times are you transitioning? Minutes, hours,
yes.
an hour during a race of moving your foot from one side to the other.
And what's crazy, like I talk a lot about short course because that's where my passion's at. I love racing short course. And like when you coming into a corner, like you can load the car up by just stepping on the brake wire, still on the gas, you can just load it up just a little bit by on the brake, just to upset the car just enough to get it to start pitching in the corner, and then you're ready to lay into it with the gas the rest of the way. Like, you're not necessarily letting off the gas all the way, because if you let off the gas all the way, then you're into a whole different like scenario. But you can just let off a little bit, stab the brakes just to upset the car just a bit and get back into it, and it just lays all the way around the corner.
Cool.
And same with like setting a jump. Like setting a jump is you're on the gas and you're just letting off, you're just hesitating with the gas pedal just like for a half second, you're back into it just to get the car to plant the ass end in. So if you just go to hit a jump like full throttle and send it off, the rear end just packs hard and bucks you really up. Like you just got to set the whole suspension.
I understand.
Yeah. Chris does that in his Barbie Jeep all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
He sets up and launches it.
Yeah, they're like 24 volt power wheels.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
No. Come on, man.
You got to add the two car batteries in it. It was hooked up in the series.
No. Come on, man.
We're talking about his Wrangler.
Sorry, my bad.
Don't be making fun of me.
They're full Barbie Jeep.
They're about the same.
Wow.
This is a fellow Dodge owner.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm a Samurai owner, too.
So that's true.
Samurai owners and like Toyota owners and all this stuff, we kind of all stick together. But I'm sitting across the table with two Jeep owners right now.
I've got the six-cylinder, so I got two on here.
Yeah.
But, you know.
A little 22RE. Yeah, I guarantee I could clutch it up way harder than your little six-cylinder would do.
He's got a lot of torque.
I do not care about clutch dumping that
thing.
No. I'm surprised my clutch is still alive after trying to train my middle kid how to drive a freaking stick. You beat the crap out of that thing.
No, we're non-denomination. We make fun of everybody.
Yeah, oh, we have to.
Opportunity, you know?
Jeeps, Toyota, Samurai. Yeah. It's like Toyota, Samurai people. We're cheap as all could be. We try to do everything on like the lowest budget possible.
Hey, right,
but it works. I love it.
It gets the job done. Jeep people, they like to spend money on it, and it still gets the job
done.
That's
right.
As long as there's no scuttle, we're all good.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Justin, let's do some shout-outs for your sponsors.
Definitely. I want to give a huge shout-out to Falcon Tire coming on board this year.
That's awesome.
Rough Stuff Specialties has been with me for 12 years now. I think they're my longest-running sponsor.
Yeah, and you got all kinds of new Rough Stuff rod ends here.
It's their housings. I have their brand-new rod ends for the car.
Pretty packaging.
Those are sexy.
I got their limit straps are on my car too. Everything.
You know why there's different color packaging, Chris?
No.
On the rod ends?
No.
You don't know?
Take a guess.
Take a guess.
Why is there a blue package and why is there a white package?
They're the same, you know, bolt hole and everything.
Same size.
Right hand, left hand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good job.
Nailed it.
See? He's got it.
It's not my first rodeo, boys.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go.
But yeah, so like I said, Rough Stuff's been with me for, like I said, I want to say 10, 12 years. They were one of my very first sponsors I ever got in my rock crawling background. And I've been luckily enough that like Dan is Dan Frederickson, yeah. And he's stuck with me, and it's been a great partnership and great friendship with everybody at Rough Stuff, and can't say nothing good about them. Nothing bad about them. And I got a little ahead of myself.
That's all right.
Okay. Can't say anything bad.
You want to redo that?
No, I'm okay. Okay, it's all funny. Right. Perfect. It's funny. It makes for welcome to the thought process of Justin Hall.
we all know what you meant.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. But nothing but good things about Rough Stuff.
Right on.
They're good. Local. They're Sacramento.
Yeah, Sacramento. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
it's Loomis,
yeah, yeah.
I think. It's, yeah, it's, right. Yeah, Loomis is where the actual town is. Yeah. But big shout out to Steve at South Bay Driveline. The famous first stripper glitter drive shaft.
I was going to say,
stripper glitter drive shafts. I am kind of upset, though, because I had a unicorn that was epoxied onto mine, a unicorn patch, and at Hammers, it's missing. Did rip it off.
Yeah.
And I found it. I got out, and like after I knew I got stuck, I went back to look at it. I found it on the ground. I grabbed it and threw it in my race trailer.
Because
it meant a lot to me. I think I'm the only person that had a unicorn patch on the drive shaft. I felt really proud of that.
Yeah, well, you were the first, definitely. And then that was during the pre-run. That wasn't during the race.
Yeah, no.
Looking for your unicorn patch.
No, it wasn't during the race. No, it wasn't. If it was during the race, sorry, Steve, unicorn would be lost to Hammers.
Well, I'm sure he's got a plentiful bounty of different unicorn.
He's got some other not safe for work.
So your front drive line is pink.
It's purple. Pink.
Was it purple?
It goes to purple.
Yeah, I don't even know what he did.
And then the back is kind of a red, white, and blue theme.
No, mine's not red, white, and blue. No, it's pink. It's pink, purple, blue. It's all the purple stuff that I saw. Yeah. Yeah, no, mine's...
Oh, yeah, no, there's definitely pink back there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no,
And it's heavily glittered.
Oh, it's got...
Heavily.
Yeah, but I try not to ever load these when I take them to him, and he repaints them. I never put them in the cab of my truck.
No, you can't put them in the cab. That's definitely
in the bed of the truck, and wrapped up in cellophane wrap, and they don't get unwrapped until they're on the car.
Yeah, and he used some glitter because I picked some up for the KOH guys last year, Art and Josh and them, I mean, it was rocks. It was diamonds that were in.
He uses good quality stripper glitter.
You got to wear gloves.
It's not just your everyday standard stripper glitter. It's full on, heavy duty.
Yes.
If you need to sand something, put the rig up on jack stands.
Yeah. It will grind down rocks. Yeah.
But no, Steve's great. He's the best, probably the most knowledgeable guy I've ever met with drive lines. I've met quite a few people about it. He builds everybody's drive shafts out this way. Tons of trophy truck teams that race Baja 1000. He builds the best stuff.
And him and Leslie are just great people. They're just really great people.
Yeah. Steve's the most sarcastic person ever. And literally, if anyone goes in there and they start talking shit about me in a joking way, he is going to talk so much shit back, and it's going to be the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, it is.
All my friends I send over there, go order dry shot. I was like, hey, just start talking shit about me, and he'll love you forever. And that's the relationship me and Steve have. You just talk shit about me. Right. I talk shit back, and it just works.
And bring bacon.
Yes.
And bring lots of bacon.
I always bring them bacon.
Not cheap Costco Walmart bacon. No. You need good butcher quality bacon.
Good quality. Yeah. He's
also a wino.
Yeah, I bring him wine and bacon.
He likes wine.
I know.
He's
I bring
a big
him my
wine
homemade
person.
Wine.
It's kind of funny. I would have never pictured him as a wine drinker.
No, he is. And he's a foodie. They're foodies. They love their food.
He's always posting pictures of their food.
Those people that are
foodies.
The
food that he smokes is incredible.
Yeah.
He smokes some incredible meat. It's impressive, the stuff he does. Yeah.
There's a ringing endorsement for South Bay Driveline.
Talk shit about Justin Hall and why.
Get your stripper glitter drive shaft.
And I have my front drive line on the Barbie Jeep is a South Bay drive line.
And it's not even pink.
No, it's just black.
We need to send that back.
All his drive lines used to be black.
We need to send that back.
Totally changed that.
I got to bend it or something. I need to break some shit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, back to listen off the people that helped me out.
Sorry.
Squirrel.
Yeah, squirrel. Big shout out to Stan Haynes with Brannick Motorsports.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I got run all of his axle shafts, the Legacy Series 300M axle shafts, front and rear in the car. I'm running I just ordered a set of the Legacy brake hats and rotors from him.
Nice.
So I can't wait to get those on the car. It'll make a big difference. That's another company that's been incredibly
like helping you out for a long time.
They've been helping me out for a while, and they're just like Stan's a great guy. He's like he supports the sport. He's big into it. He's being super innovative with everything. He's got some huge new like crazy big 1550 U joint axle shafts now.
Just
see them next to like a Coke can. They make a Coke can look tiny. It's insane.
If you break that, you're doing rock something bouncer wrong. Stuff.
Yeah, he just started coming out with his new set of U joints too. New 300M U joints. He just released those. So like, can't wait to eventually get a set of those for the car. And
pretty penny.
Yeah,
none of that.
It's
cheap.
Worth it. Like,
get what you pay for.
Yeah, having a good U joint in your car is huge.
Yeah.
You have to run like a 300M style U joint. There's no in what we do in the Ultra 4 world, even the rock crawling world, you have to have good U joints. You can't just run like stock Spicer stuff. Yeah. They just don't last.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Battleborn Wheels. They've been on board for 2 years now, going on 3 years, and I can't kill their wheels, and when I have been able to destroy one, like, I destroyed a lot of other stuff that goes along with it. Yeah. I don't know if you see the one
I see the one hanging on the wall.
And it's like half of one. Yeah. Like, I center punched a rock at like 40.
Oh, boy.
And it took that and destroyed the tire, destroyed the brake caliper and rotor. Like, it destroyed a lot of stuff. Yeah, and
it's good
funny, I still ran like 2 laps at the NorCal races with that because I didn't realize that happened.
I mean, it's a beadlock wheel, but the other half of the wheel is pretty much gone.
No, it was still bolted up to the wheel hub.
Well, I know, but I mean,
the back half. Yeah, it was just like flailing around in there. Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. But
she going.
Yeah, she going. But like, I ran on flat tires at Hammers, and I've still using the wheels on the race car. They don't flat spot. They're extremely tough. I just got a set of his new Echo Street wheels for the Ram. Yeah, they're sitting in a box still inside the house.
Nice.
I'm that guy that has like race car parts and like cool truck parts in his living room.
Yeah,
that's
why
me.
Not? Yeah.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, I do that.
Nice.
But yeah, huge shout out to Aaron Orlick at Battleborn there. He's been a super awesome deal with. Want to give a shout out to Ethos Vision. They're my sunglass sponsor.
Right
they
on.
Make some pretty badass stuff. They just came out with their own line of goggles too. So if you guys go to Hammers, like buy a set of their goggles. They're great for that. I wore mine down there over Thanksgiving during the wind. It was awesome.
Goggles are an absolute must at Hammers.
I need new ones. Yeah.
They got beanies. They just came out with some new windbreakers now too. So they're a fairly new company. They're about a year old now, and they're just they're just coming on the market, but definitely look for them.
And they're
to do
local
some cool
to Chris.
Stuff.
They're Brentwood.
They're out in Brentwood. Yeah. Yeah Brentwood
Told
Discovery
Chris
Bay
needs
Area.
To go visit them.
Yeah.
We need to go get Wheeling Wine
I looked
and
their
involved.
Address up, but I just haven't made it over there.
Yeah.
Another big shout out goes out to Jordan Pellegrino, who started the Speed Company.
Okay.
It's a clothing apparel shop and sweatshirts, beanies. Like, he's got some really badass smelling air fresheners. They got t-shirts. Oh, yeah. What's funny, their air fresheners, they look like little mini quarts of oil.
Really?
Nice. Yeah. But they don't smell, they smell amazing. So,
okay.
Definitely
well,
huge, huge
like,
shout out to
like,
them.
Like gear oil, right?
Yeah, right.
Hopefully not gear oil. That's like the worst smell ever.
Gotta give a big shout out to Phil Licardi with Liberty Mountain Fab, my shock tuner.
Shock Jesus.
Yeah, Shock Jesus. He's been on board with me since I built this car, and he's gone through these car or through the shocks on this car. We developed these 4-tube, 3/4 tube, big tube diameter bypasses for this car, and he since have sold I think quite a few pair of them. But I was one of the first cars to get these, and it made such a huge difference. And he's probably one of the only people I trust touching this car.
So riddle me this. I heard his interview on the Talent Take with Wyatt.
Yeah.
And I swear I wanted to go back and listen to it because I swear you are the one that coined the term shock Jesus. Is that true?
It is. So
holy shit.
You look back like a few years ago, I was scrolling through, I don't know what the hell and how I ended up finding this, but I found a picture of what someone depicted Jesus to look like, and I'm like, oh my God, this looks like Phil Licardi.
Wow.
So my smart ass, I like posted on his social media on his Facebook page, and I'm like, Phil, you're Jesus. And then you're Shock Jesus. And it's just kind of stuck. And it's stuck. And Phil has been, he's probably the most humblest guy out there. Like, he'll never take claim to ever, like, being as good as he really is. And he's
humble guy.
He, like, the guy knows his shit. When it comes to shock tuning, he knows his shit. He's not afraid to try something completely in left field and see if it works.
Sure.
And that's why I support Phil and everything he's got going on over there. Like Liberty Mount Fab, the cars he builds are badass too. And the long shock stuff, he's super innovative on all that stuff. And that's also like being innovative like that is what like attracted me to work with Phil. And like I said, he's worked wonders on my car. My car was complete garbage in the desert till he touched it.
Wow.
We struggled with, I had normal 3.2, like half inch two bypasses on it. We struggled with it. And he still got the car to move in the desert with that. And I don't know how the hell he did it. Then when we talked about it, we ordered these new shock bodies for it and swapped everything over. It was literally a night and day difference. And then he, like, you would think he's got hours in the tuning of this car. I've maybe worked with him 4 times on this car. We just haven't. He lives in Gardnerville, Nevada.
Yeah.
He's not like we don't live close to each other. Mm-hmm. And I don't. The only time I mess with the tubes on the rear bypass is in short course racing because I've talked to him and he's explained like, hey, yeah, pull rebound out of it so it'll jump flatter, take less preload out, like rear coilover, blah, 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 blah. Like we've talked about that stuff. But when it comes to actually tuning the car, like I won't. He's the only person like exclusively that touches my car.
Wow.
It's I can't say enough good things about him.
Yeah, I mean that's just a great little side story there because it's people that you know, I knew him as Shock Jesus before I knew him as Phil Licardi.
A lot of people only know him as
right,
Shock Jesus.
Exactly. So it's pretty funny.
I've always wanted people to like coin somebody a nickname and it's
well, there you go. That one like, that one's there.
And I couldn't ask for a better person for it to go to. Like that's I said cool. Phil, like, I've gone up, hung out with Phil. He doesn't live that far from my parents. And him and Sarah, they're, like, incredible. They're probably literally the most nicest people you'll ever meet, like, on the earth. Like, they're super welcoming to come hang out with. Like, Phil, he's probably the most political person I know. And I love that. Like, he literally, like, talks shit about everybody that's, like, against like he just hates everything about politics and it's great like I love his posts. I love everything, all of it. It's amazing.
It's hilarious.
Phil is just a really great guy.
Yeah, so check out Liberty Mountain Fab on Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff.
Yep. Yeah, all the good cool. things like that. Yeah, then another big shout out Josh West. He's been my engine tuner and my engine builder. Like this old motor he built for this car. He actually, it's funny, this motor, he had enough parts. It was supposed to be in his own personal truck.
Oh,
he had
no
like
kidding.
I don't know if it was an old like Chevy C10 or it was like something in that era of trucks. I don't know if it was a Ford or Chevy. I can't remember, but he had the parts on the shelf to build that motor for himself. And I talked to him and he ended up building me this motor. And he's been, like I said, my engine tuner in my last car. He's the reason my last car was as fast as it was, like motor wise. This motor, he's the only person that's touched it. He works now down at CBM Motorsports, and we had it on the dyno down there. And for little motor, how light the car is, like it put down some pretty impressive numbers for it. I was impressed. Like if you look on my Instagram page on the at Rock Hard Racing, it's throws down a little bit.
And it sounds so rowdy too. Yeah, it sounds so good.
She's rowdy.
Yeah.
She's a little spicy.
Yeah. Spicy. Like, spicy.
Spicy is my word for it.
I like the spicy. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh has a really good knack for building some really bitchin' motors and
cool.
Not just building them. Like he working at CBM now, the guy tunes on everything. He's sand rails, like drift cars, like everything you can think of. He tunes it all. And literally like he's, the first time he's actually saw it in person was Hammers this past year. And other than that, we were doing everything remote tuning with him.
No kidding.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I would fire up a hotspot on my phone and, he would, I'd log on to my computer.
Okay.
And then he'd log into my computer from some remote desktop thing. And like, I don't know how it all works. It's some like weird technology.
It's magic.
Like my computer was hooked up to the computer on my race car and he was tuning it through that.
Yeah, sure.
Like the first event I had this car at with the new motor was a NorCal Rock Racing. I literally loaded it onto the trailer with the base tune he had. He goes, when you get there, go drive it like a couple miles. And he goes, well, check it, mess with it. And after every heat race, I would call him. I was like, hey, dude, I'm ready to do whatever. He goes, okay. We'd hook it up and he'd be going through it. Everything, he was always making little changes on it. And he's got the car. He's squeezed about just as much horsepower as like the car can handle. The car's so light, I physically can't put any more motor in the car. because I'm already knocking 37s off all day long anyway.
Sure.
Just right. It's crazy how quick this car is. And well, a 383, she spools up quick.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Yeah.
It's all lightweight internals, lightweight everything, and it just it's got a super small like torque converter in it that I got from Scott with Nixon Fabrication.
Nixon. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's dude is impressive with building transmissions too. He's built
Nixon transmission yeah. in Jackson, right?
Yeah, Jackson, yeah. Yeah, he built the Turbo 350 that I have.
Okay.
And I told him, like, hey, this is what I'm pushing to the motor. Like, I need to be able to go through the transmission, get it dialed in. And, yeah, he's got that thing where I'm comfortable enough throwing this amount of horsepower that Josh puts out to it. And, yeah, like I said, every person that I partner up with, like, they're like, small-time guys, and they're literally the best in the business.
Of course.
Well, yeah. And they got the passion, too, you know, right?
Yeah.
They want to see, yeah. They love their craft and they want to see their product perform.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And be tested.
Yeah. It's the guys at Nixon Transmission, like those guys, like he specializes in like Dodge Ram trucks, like the 68 RFE transmissions. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like
yeah. Cause those transmissions Chris. Really,
Hey.
Keep him in business.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. It's better than everything else in the whole truck falling apart. Yeah. But no, he'll be touching. He'll be the one messing on my Ram when I get to that point of doing valve bodies and clutches and everything. And he'll be the one messing with that. But he builds so many other people's transmissions for Ultra 4 Racing. Just like Josh tunes everybody else's motors, and Phil tunes a bunch of people's shocks. Like,
sure,
they know what they're doing, and people that are smart go to the people that know what they're doing.
Oh yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
right on. Word of mouth. So,
Yeah. Then I'll give myself a shameless plug with my at Rock Hard Racing. That's on my Instagram page. And then the fabrication kind of side gig that I got going on, which is 13 fabrication, just 1/3 and fabrication on Instagram. Been just cranking out. I haven't turned away any bit of work, and I've been slammed. It's been kind of cutting into my race prep and everything like that, but I'm not going to turn away work. I'm trying to get my name out there and do everything. Like, before you guys got here, like probably an hour before you got here, I did a Jeep JK rear bumper install for a guy, a tire carrier.
Nice. Wow.
And the kit was missing some brackets, and I talked to him like, hey, dude, like, we don't need to make this bolt on. I'm like, do you ever plan on removing this tire carrier? At least this mount that mounts on the frame. He goes, no. I'm like, okay, I'm going to weld it in place. And he's like, not a problem.
Perfect.
So buzz welder out, knock it all out. All right, cool. And it wasn't sitting here waiting for to order the new brackets for everything. Like, we can... Like, I can make whatever you guys need. So,
that's cool.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, you've got a wide variety of equipment and tools here, but, I mean, it's basic stuff, but, I mean, all top quality, but it just goes to show your fabrication skills in this little shack here. We'll call it a shack.
It's legitimately a shack.
It's a shack.
It's pretty shacky. Like,
nope. It's perfect, though.
But it works.
For what you need to do.
Yeah, it gets the job done.
Heck,
and I can't complain about it at all.
No, this is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Well, hell, we're looking forward to KOH 2021 and seeing you go kick some ass out there.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you guys out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. It's going to be a party.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Party.
I don't really drink during Keenan.
No, I know.
I'm pretty on point with, like, I'm there to do a job. Car's got to be prepped, got to do this. Like, I'll hang out, have a good time.
But we're going to be working.
Party
too,
doesn't mean drinking. Yeah, we're working too. So it's
well, there's a lot of us.
But
partying is partying at the end of the day. We can all have a good time.
Well, we're going to
have a
good time.
Yeah.
It'll be
you
good.
Guys are always welcome in my pit.
Cool. That's good. So. And I'm going to find out. I've got that segment.
It's in there. I didn't forget.
Drive his car.
I know, right?
I didn't forget one bit. I told you, like, after the race, car's in good shape. Everything's looking good. Like, I'll let you go take it out.
No, it's all good, man. That's awesome. No, great times. Always fun talking with you.
Always a blast.
And getting your story. And we'll hit you up again on the lake bed.
Yeah, look forward to it.
All right, cool, Justin.
All right, Justin Hall.
That's me.
That's you.
That's me.
All right. So anyway, if you want to follow Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, you can see us at wheelingwineandwhiskey.com. You can catch us at our Instagram, Wheeling Wine and Whiskey. Jason manages that and does a great job and is posting all the time.
I try.
It'll be hot and exciting during Hammer
Time.
Week of the Hammers, King of the Hammers. And then don't forget about our patron, you know, Patreon. We want
we want your money.
We want your money. there's additional content that we provide, you know, whether it's my rants or Jason's jokes or whatever. There's lots of exciting stuff plus gifts and giveaways that are exclusive to Patreons.
We appreciate all the support and you know, if you want some Wheeling Wine and Whiskey swag,
yes,
you can go to our website and grab that. But all good stuff. This has been the marathon with all these different drivers we've been following, and I love it, Chris.
That's great.
Some great, great stories. You know, these are people that love racing and are just 110%. Gung-ho, and it's just been great. So
one step closer to Hammer Time.
We are, and it is. It's right around the corner now, and looking forward to it. So here we are into the new year, 2021.
Hope everybody had a great holiday.
And make this thing happen. This has got to be a better year. It's already a better year.
Hell yeah. And on that note, we're out.